I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, welcome to Stacking Giants. I'm Tom Howe. She's Jay-Z. Jessica Zalewski on the board. Bright-eyed this morning, telling me all about her schedule. Lou, it'd be nice to be young these days. S&P futures down 9. Dow futures down 75. NASDAQ futures down 26. Oil down 75 cents. 10-year yield 2.71. So we've got kind of a negative morning, but we've shown the last few days the ability to come back. So we'll see if we do. Yesterday we did come back, and we were up pretty strong most of the day, and then we took a dive on the close. Not really below, but we really lost a lot of gas in the last 10 minutes. So, Lou, how are you? Other than I know you had a horrible week, bud, but I think it was pretty much a celebration of a good life. For those that don't know, Lou's dad passed last week, sort of right after the show, and... I'd say a little bit unexpectedly, Lou, at least in terms of the timing. And you were back to Tennessee for the funeral, and I'm sure you ran into an awful lot of people you haven't seen in a while, so that part was good, but the reason was bad.
Yeah, it's never, I mean, even when you have been...
We can barely hear you, bud. Were you in the wrong spot in the room?
No, okay, let me try and move around a little bit. Any better?
You're in the room naked looking up at the dead animal heads?
Yeah, that's right. Hold on a second, let me call back.
I might just call back. The market has been a little kind of weird here because we've come back about two thirds of the way, maybe three quarters of the sell off, and now it's kind of what do I do now here sort of thing. And I have been talking to an awful lot of actually a lot of new people that are looking to have me manage their money, which is I think good for them. And boy, the confusion is tough out there. They're not as sure about the market as they were a few years ago. Still, any kind of long-term debt is still probably not an option because you don't want to do 10 years at, 2.7, for God's sake. There's a few preferreds around. There's a couple of dividend ETFs that get you a little better, but they all have their somewhat quirks, and you don't want to be a concentration issue in those things. So, and cash is still not, a strong area, although we have had some people who, it's not great, great money, but we've put some people in, 6 month, treasuries where we go, we do it right. We go right to the auction for people. So you're not paying a bid-ask spread. And we've done some of that. So, I think the last person we got 2.6 maybe, which isn't ideal, but it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. If you have too much cash, you don't know what to do with it. It's better doing that than leaving it somewhere for nothing. So, the issue is, do you want to hedge? Do you want to protect? Do you want to try and do covered rights? And I talked to some people that were in a dividend program, and all of a sudden, I lost money. Well, the market went down. Well, yeah, but I didn't want to lose money. Well, okay. The market's still down 8% from the high, and you're down 5%. And this is not with me, this is with somebody else. And, we didn't want to protect anything. Yeah, but I didn't want to lose either. Okay. The last few years have made, shall we say, the interview process somewhat difficult with new clients. Lou, you back, bud?
So does this sound any better?
A little bit. Still not your usual self. But
all right, hold on. Hold on a second. Let me try one last thing.
Okay. There is a device we're going to be getting, Lou. No, it's not one of those kind of devices. It actually is a modern invention. You plug it into your computer, and supposedly just like you're in the studio with us. So as soon as we can find that thing, as somebody said it was, as soon as I find it, we're going to get one for Lou and the rest of our calling people. So it will be like they are in the studio. Which you, Lou, you better? No, he's still not here. Anyway, so the interview process for a investor right now is it's a little sticky. Lou, you with us?
Sure, right now.
A little better.
Okay, sorry about that. I've moved from location to location and disconnected the headset and everything else.
It's a little bit like a reverb unit, but not so bad.
Well, you want me to call back in? I'll try one more time.
Yeah, but when I'll try to explain to Jay-Z. Okay, why don't you stay with? You're okay. Should we ask Jay-Z what a reverb unit is?
Sure, let's ask her.
Jay-Z, what's a reverb unit?
Can I have 5 seconds to Google it?
Oh, no, you can't Google it, for God's sake. The new generation.
That's by the way.
If anything, Lou, you're worse. Give us the last try. How do you not have a landline, for God's sake? Anyway.
I don't. I'm sitting. Hold on a sec. One more time. Let me call in. I don't know what's going on. Hold on.
Okay. For those of you who don't do conference calls and things like I do, if you have a landline, if you're one of the few people left, always use your landline for your, because cell phones, the signal is not the same. And you know that your ear is fine with it, but when it goes through another piece of equipment, it doesn't do as well. It's not near as pure as a copper landline, if you happen to have one, if anybody still has one of those things, because obviously the phone company wants to get everybody the hell out of all that stuff. Anyway, the big deaf today in the industry, Jack Bogle, the founder of the Vanguard Group. Lou, you there?
All right, one more time.
It's good enough. We're good.
Right. I have no idea. I'm sitting in the same place that I always sit to do these calls, so I don't have any idea what's going on.
Must be sunspots, or maybe it's the Russians.
Well, it's my head. Anyway, to go back to what you were talking about, thank you. I appreciate the condolences that I got from you and from everybody else. And no matter how you prepare yourself for this kind of thing, you know, it's always a loss. The best thing I was able to do, I'd be interested if other people have had this experience. I sat down and wrote the obituary of my brother and sisters. I'm the initial wordsmith, so I wrote the obituary and another piece for Facebook, and you know, getting that down and writing that out was a bit, you know, was cathartic, and that was good.
Yeah, it is. You do realize, no matter how much you're expected, it's still rough, and there's times in there, especially, I don't know if you had the traditional waking thing, which we did for my mom and stepfather, but there's always going to be a point in there with the friends where it's, you know, gets very poignant, because it's you realize it's just not just your loss, it's other people's too.
And you know, I generally get down on social media, but. One of the things that it does is it's great in a situation like this when you're connected to folks, because when you're able to reach a bunch of people very quickly, and I got a lot of people coming up that I hadn't talked to in a little while who surfaced, you know, to express condolences. And the other thing is, and you just mentioned this, you realize the impact. I mean, especially for, you know, a professional coach, his players and guys who played on the Vikings and knew him, just, you know, were overwhelming in terms of their, you know, support and condolences and kind words.
Yeah, but it's really, because it's, you know, he doesn't just mean a lot to you; it means a lot to other people, and that's the part that's kind of sad. I mean, I don't know how many friends and people he still had in the town he lived in, but I know in my mom's wake, it was. You know, some of her friends had passed before her, and so at the wake, there's, you know, all of her friends that were left, there's about 8 of them. I don't know why, but they gathered around me, and they said, now what are we going to do? And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, she was always there for coffee in the morning. She always organized the bowling, organized the bridge, what are we going to do now? She was like the fourth for bridge. We don't have five anymore. You know, we're down to like, we can't do anything anymore. What are the rest of us going to do? God, I felt like totally helpless, Lou. Like, what am I going to do? What answer do they want from me? I don't know. And why would they ask me? I mean, because I talk all the time, maybe, but it was like, you know, I just felt so bad. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my father, as I think I had mentioned, you know, suffered from, you know, some cognitive issues for a number of years, and which is why I'd sort of been preparing for this, you know, mentally. But notwithstanding his relative lack of activity, you know, recently, to have all these guys come up and talk about the impact that he made on their lives. I mean, I heard from you know, Sean Salisbury and you know, guys. I heard from players that I knew as a ball boy in the 1960s when I worked at the Vikings in the late 1960s. Guys that I remember as rookies who played, you know, in the league a couple of years or came through training camp. I heard from them. I heard from my high school friends. I mean, my dad was one of these guys that really liked being around, you know, young people, and you know, he really enjoyed being around my friends when we were in high school. And I think he enjoyed being around them more than he enjoyed being around me sometimes, because I was kind of a smart aleck. I can't imagine that. But I heard from all these people that had just come up forward and just said, you know, whatever else is going through your head, just know that, you know, your dad left a legacy that touched, you know, a lot of people, and you know, sports writers and people like this. So that's the advantage. It's also a scourge, but that's the advantage of, you know, living in the public eye, I guess, or living a public life.
You know what, Lou? I think it's somewhat of a, I'm not going to do the, you know, one generation's better than another stuff, but that generation, and he's not quite as old as my parents and my uncles and aunts and so forth, but somewhat in that same group. He's probably maybe 5 years younger.
Well, they were people who grew up during the Depression.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The idea, the people around you, I mean, the young people, if you were 12 or 13, you weren't young anymore. I mean, you were expected to be, I won't say have a job, but you were expected to know right from wrong. You were expected to get to school by yourself. You were expected, I mean, you were brought up to be an adult in your environment an awful lot faster than now.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is really interesting. And I learned talking to my mom and talking to, you know, some of my, you know, my aunts and uncles. I learned, you know, a couple of things about my dad that I maybe had known way back, but really hadn't registered for a while. I mean, he went to work at 13. The idea that you got, and I don't mean as a paper boy, he was working on a milk delivery wagon in Philadelphia, you know, at 13, because that's what you did. It was a very 19th century view of childhood, which was, you know, get out there and start earning money for the family, because, you know, the economically desperate times. The other thing I found out, and I don't think I ever knew this. I was looking through his records, and I find a discharge certificate from the Navy. He'd been on active duty with the Army when he left college, but he had actually been in the Navy for a brief period because the Naval Academy was recruiting him. And sent him to a prep school to spin him up for academics and to get him ready to go there. He didn't stay there very long. He couldn't stay there.
God, I can imagine.
But again,
I can't imagine you in a prep school. Your dad would be worse.
To go back to your. Sorry, go ahead.
I said I can't imagine you in a prep school. He probably was worse.
Oh yeah. No. But to go back to your point, imagine. You know, yeah. Imagine a childhood where you know you're just one more economic unit, and I mean that. But that was the circumstances. He grew up in a very poor part of Philadelphia, and football was his way out of that. And I think his circumstance is similar to that of a lot of people in the
God,
in the, who you know grew up or who were kids at some point during that time.
Well, you know, Jack Pardee, famous line, he was one of the Junction Boys.
Yeah.
And they said, well, when were you just like Tougher and everybody else? He goes, no, I didn't have a home to go back to.
Yeah.
It
wasn't quite that bad with my father, but it was, I mean, it was tough. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting, this is in part of the piece I put up on Facebook and sort of a tribute to him, but, you know, he embraced, like a lot of guys that I knew that were his peers, he embraced the ethic that, you know, that Kipling puts down in that terrific poem, If. I'll reference something for Jess to look at. If you can pull up the NFL Films version of If, where John Facenda, who has the voice of you know, of God, quite frankly, reading Kipling's poem set to video highlights from the NFL, you know, that, I think that typified the values of a lot of those guys in the late 1960s. You know, my dad was in his, late 30s, and so was Bud Grant, and they grew up in some tough times when these attributes of, you know, stoicism and manliness and, you know, courage and humility and all that stuff, those were all exemplars, and that's what you wanted to follow. And when I was reflecting on it, I thought, you know, watching his reaction and how he handled what, you know, what happened when he was a coach, which really sort of lays bare your emotional structure every week. Watching how he handled that, I think, made me think about, this is the kind of the way I should be, and this is the way I should.
Well, he had a pretty stoic guy on top of him, and Bud Grant too.
Which I'm sure made
it easier.
But you know, the deal was, you just, I mean, Bud's position and my father's too, was, this is a game we're involved in. It's a game that we make our livelihood at, but it's a game. And because it's a game, there are always going to be things you simply don't control as a coach. And you have to understand and understand that. And when things don't go your way, you have to be prepared for things to not go your way.
By the way,
during the Depression, that was an easy thing to do.
Did you see I didn't read the whole article, but some bar in Chicago decided to have a thing for this guy hit the post, right?
Oh yeah, but it was like Goose Island or somebody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, somebody's going to, and of course everybody in their wife beater shirt sitting in front of the TV with a beer is convinced they could do it, and like, what, how many people tried it? Nobody came close.
You know? Oh yeah, right, because that comes back to something you have talked about many times here. Nobody understands the degree of expertise that a professional athlete performs at, you know, the level that they're performing at, or the degree of expertise that they actually have.
Even most college guys you never want to play golf against somebody who's actually played competitive golf. That actually counts all their strokes. When they tell you they shoot an 80, they mean an 80. What you were saying about the generations, Lou, I can't put my finger on it, I'm not going to say, but it was, I don't know if maybe people didn't last as long or what happens, but when you were 16, 17, you know, if you were a male and your uncles had some of their pals over and you watched a football game with them, you were expected to know something about football. You were expected to know something about politics. You're not supposed to be some dip bleep, and you better behave yourself like a man. But also, you're not getting invited back. I mean, I know when my graduation, all my buddies from college show up, my aunt's like, well, let's play poker. You guys can play. You're old enough. Get in here. There was no, you were expected as a mid to late teenager to damn near be an adult. And,
yes, absolutely.
You know, and the idea that I'm going to go sit in my room and play a video game and everybody else is playing poker, you wouldn't have done that. Really? You'd have been like ostracized or something.
You wouldn't have been allowed to.
No. Because people, the TV was around for once in a while. You watch sports and stuff, but your entertainment was your people. And I remember there was a thing in the 30s in Chicago, and they had this African-American family on there, and the guy, somebody said, what was life like in the 30s? He goes, it was a lot of fun. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, we had a job. He goes, I didn't get laid off, so I had a job. You come home, you have some dinner, you got cleaned up, and you went out. and you danced and you had a couple of beers and you came home at 12 or 1 and you went to bed and you went right back to work. And you did it every night because there was no air conditioning. There was nothing. Why would you stay home when you can go out and there's a band and, you know, and you're expected to go out, you're expected to behave, and you were at work on time the next day.
And
You're out again, Lou. You have to get the call back, bud.
Try it again.
Oh, there you go. You're a little better. Is this an Apple phone? Is this an Apple phone? What brand is this thing?
This isn't. It's the same phone I'm always calling in on, but I don't know what's going on with my connection here. But
that's now you're better. Now you're fine.
Okay, I have no idea what's going on, but anyway, the point that I was going to make is that there's a lot of discussion right now about the loss of social integrity in the United States, and it's been going around for a while, but people are starting to identify the fact, for example, that we are not joining clubs like we used to. You know, you had your church.
Yep.
You had the Rotary, you had the Elks, you had, you know, whatever. But there were a lot of the Lions, you know, there were a lot of civic clubs and groups that you were expected to belong to and join, and that reinforced social fabric and reinforced values, and that's not there anymore.
Well, it gives you a reason to go out of the house. I mean, if the Elks meet twice a month, you're going to go out, you're going to meet people, you're going to enjoy yourself, you're going to have, you know, whatever. If you don't drink, you don't drink, but if you have a couple of cocktails, but you're there for a purpose. The end of the month, I don't know what Elks do. I know the Lions are eyeglasses, right? They were?
They were.
What were the Elks? I never knew what those guys were. Everybody had sort of their charity.
I don't know.
The Kiwanis was something else. But all those guys. Go ahead.
I was going to say, no, you're right, but they all had purposes, and I mean, one of the fascinating things is if you drive through like the Midwest, you go through small towns in the Midwest, you will see meeting halls for these groups all over the place.
Well, the VFW is another one.
Yeah. Yeah, the Legion. We don't see that so much anymore. Again, it's the screens make it too easy for us to isolate ourselves. And I don't want to sound, you know, oh, life is terrible. I'm just noting that our social fabric is not as tightly woven as it used to be because we are not socializing as much.
Well, I'm going to run one by you, Lou, and I haven't done this in a while. And Jay-Z hasn't been here when I have, so maybe it'll be educational to her. How do you balance, I'm going to say, today's world with, and I'm just going to lob them out there because there's two different thought processes. Today's world where, you know, people are expected to take emails at home at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or something, and essentially people will tell you that they put in the 60, 70-hour work week. Of course, people do a lot more personal stuff at their desk than they ever used to, but that's... leave that as another story. How do you, and I'm not so sure people have a lot of time for this other stuff, but how do you dovetail that in with Pullman that had manufacturing engineering studies going back to 1860, for God's sake, or 1865, where they could actually tell you, Lou, that if somebody showed up for work, if you got a phone call from your wife, it meant somebody died or the kid got thrown out of school, you know. I mean, it would not have been a good thing. So there was no person, there was none of that stuff. So, and if you worked as a welder, you worked for 2 hours, you had a 10-minute break, 2 more hours, you had lunch, same thing in the afternoon, you went home. But they could tell you if you started to work 10-hour days, the exact day at which the work being done in 10 hours is the same as it used to be done in 8. Same thing on a Saturday. If on a Friday night, you know, some delivery didn't show up on a Friday afternoon, Could you bring people in for 4 hours on a Saturday morning and knock that job off? Yes. But if you decided to start working every Saturday, they would tell you after 7 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, they could tell you exactly because they tried it like a million times. At the end of 7 weeks, you're doing the same in 6 days that you used to do in 5. And, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe every craft wasn't the same or maybe every one of them had a different curve type of thing. But the bottom line is, there was a balance. One of the best guys who ever ran PCW1, the one who was now the Walmart in Roseland, he'd come in on a Saturday, and if he saw Lou Michaels there, he'd stop in your office. Lou, how are you? See you here on a Saturday. You either know what you're doing, or you don't have enough help. Which is it?
No. That's. I've actually. It's going to sound funny to you, but I actually had law partners who did that to me when I was an associate.
you know, when I came in, they would swing by my office and go, you know, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
But the question is, which is right? I mean, now we have people who walk in, and there's 20,000 people in the company, will fire 1,000. And the other 19,000 are supposed to somehow make up with it. Fire another 1,000. Now people are working more and more hours. Are they really getting anywhere, Lou, is my question. Or is all the stuff in Pullman wrong? Has things changed, you know, that much? Or, I mean, I know a lot of people are slack. There's personal emails being done at work and that kind of thing. But is there enough slack? Or do people, I mean, if I'm getting home at 7 o'clock every night and I got a family, well, how the hell am I going to the Kiwanis?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. I think the short answer is I think you're seeing people take more breaks during the workday for whatever reason to look at stuff or to break off from work. This isn't, you know, now again, this is the collar stuff. This is not manufacturing. So you see people taking more breaks. So that may break up the production grind, but I will tell you right now, one of the things that we're moving to, and what you've just described is exactly the reason, are these artificial intelligence systems that don't need breaks, and that can do this replicated stuff quickly and accurately, or relatively quickly and accurately, but just keep going.
Lou, hold that thought, buddy. The S&P Futures now down 12. Down on 112, NASDAQ down 30. We're heading south here seriously a little bit. We'll come back here for the break with all the stocks around the world, and we're going to finish up Lou's thought and other stuff. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomali, Mr. Lou Michaels. Is Jay-Z on the board? Lou, I can't believe it. Sometimes I see something come by the thing here, and I have to say something about this. It's hard for somebody in our position doing a podcast, soon to be on the radio, I hope, a podcast where we try and talk about what maybe our politicians are saying wrong, and you've got a president with a massive bully pulpit telling people how the Chinese are paying for these tariffs. And, of course, I know, since I've read an economic books without pictures a couple times, but that's absolutely a flat-ass lie that it's paid for by America. But, Lou, I haven't heard boo from anybody in the months this has been going on. Here we are, Mark Niket this morning in the economics column from Bloomberg. Trump's tariffs are producing billions, but China isn't paying. Trade economists say companies and consumers actually pay. Duh, Lou.
Sure.
Duh. I mean, how come it took this long to see an article, for God's sake? We've been talking about it for 6 months. Anyway, S&P futures down 11. Dow futures down 106. NASDAQ futures down 27. So we're down, but not horribly. Around the rest of the world, we've got Europe down again, but not severely. DAX down 37.4%. FTSE down 42.6% as they continue to fight about this Brexit. CAC around down 20.3%, which is one of the one, I think, Lou, I mean, I don't read that much about the London Times and whatever, and Kathy used to, and I think she told me she sent some stuff over today, but this has to be one of the most amazing political scenes of our lifetime, this whole Brexit thing. Asia, and over in Asia, we've got Nikkei down 40. That's not much, 0.2%. Shanghai down 10, 0.4%. Hang Seng down 146.5%. So pretty even across the board there. We've got oil down 75 cents, 51.56. Brent down 74. Natural gas up another 18 cents, 3.56. For those of you who haven't spotted it, it's going to be cold this weekend. 3 below in Kansas City for the big game. Not that cold here, thank God. RBOB 139. Home heating oil 187. And we've got gold up another, 20 cents, 12.94. Silver unchanged. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:37. Chicago weather today is cloudy with a high of 34 and a low of 26. Phoenix is also partly cloudy today with a high of 70, low of 47. Only score I have to report is for the Coyotes, who beat the Sharks 6-3 last night. And in traffic, there is an accident on the Kennedy going west just before Division Street, blocking the two left lanes. Traffic is congested, delays up to 20 minutes, and that's all I got. Back to you.
Jess, you should have said the Bulls, thankfully, were off.
We're off. Okay, the Bulls were off.
Thankfully.
But there was no score. So.
The Bulls, thank God, did not have a game or something along those lines. Cause they lost like 8 in a row, Lou. I mean, they're pretty bad.
I was going to say the Bulls went undefeated last night.
Yes. All right, Lou, you had a thought running, and finish it up, please.
Well, I actually got diverted by your Brexit comment, which I had actually noted as a topic to talk about today. And so I'm going to go two topics, to both totally unrelated, but following your intro. The Brexit thing is the one of the most incompetent performances by a political group that I've ever seen, and I've included the Obama people on Affordable Care, but it's like the Affordable Care Act debacle. You have 2 years to get ready for this. You've got a referendum that you're going to follow. You've got 2 years to get ready for it. You apparently...
Lou, move back into the spot where you were.
Okay, any better?
Yes.
Okay. You've got 2 years to prepare for this thing, and you still can't come up with a plan. It's an incoherent response by a bunch of people who were elected to do exactly this. I'm astounded at it.
Well, if you had a referendum right now, and this is where I would love your advice and counsel. If you had a referendum in Chicago right now to go from 50 wards to 25, how fast do you think your, quote, elected officials would chop?
Oh, yeah. No, that could be done. I agree.
But, I mean, the Theresa May, the whole group, and I actually like her, but I don't think they want a Brexit. They want to bring back the best deal they can get, which is actually worse than the old deal, and what they really want is enough people to throw in the towel and say, screw it, let's vote again. This has been so horrible, let's just stay where we are. That's exactly what they want, I think, my read is, from Chicago.
Well, at least that's a reasonable, the idea that this incompetent, this display of incompetence is deliberate versus just we can't really do our jobs. That at least is an alternate explanation. I could never figure out what was going on with Obamacare, you know, because that was incompetence on a monster scale as well, and I couldn't figure what the other, you know, the argument was that would say it's not incompetence.
I'm going to say that the
Brexit, you've got a counter.
I'm going to say that
they don't want to do this.
I'm going to say on the Obamacare, and I honestly believe this, and I know, you know, we'll have people tweet in and say I'm way off base. By the way, yesterday, Lou, I think you got a half-assed compliment from our right wingers. That the show starts out so left, and then it's up to you and Kevin to bring it back to where it ought to be, or something like
that. I'm going to say that may be true. I'm going to defer because I think Kevin is the voice of rationality.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell him. He might be
clear thought and certainly clear expression. So
don't say that if he's listening.
That I'm being lumped in with him. That's quite a compliment.
Don't say that if he's listening. For God's sake, we're at the end of it.
I have more admiration for Kevin and for you, but I have more admiration for you two gentlemen than you probably know.
Well, for Kevin to be moving upwards as dramatically as he is in his essentially new career is really an exemplary performance. I mean, Kevin, while his ears are burning, they might as well. Kevin worked as an IT person for many banks. Did a good job, and then essentially retired. And then he saw this Better World Books operation that they give a quarter to charity or something, every book they sell or whatever. So Kevin's sort of kind of place. So he piles in there to kind of help out. Well, of course, within a year, he's like running the IT department. And then he starts teaching on the side. And, you know, we're talking about a guy who's, you know, 64, for God's sake. Starts teaching on the side, gets himself in absolutely terrific shape. He goes out in kayaks or whatever on his lake every day. He looks better than he did when he was in college, for God's sake. And then he starts teaching, loves it, decides he can help out the school with their department. Now he's a department head. I mean, it's an amazing amount of effort and still, you know, very good with his family, the whole bit. You know, takes care of, you know, he had his mom was here and he back and forth to Chicago, so she passed a few years ago. I mean, it's really an amazing story of what you can still do. It kind of where a lot of people are putting their fanny on the couch, and he's wondering what that.
Well, I mean, I'll just say this: you, Kevin, I could think of five or six other guys. We're all sort of in the same age group, and I look at you guys and say, okay, this is where I want to be. This is how I need to be, and it really doesn't matter how old I am. you know, I'll make whatever adjustments I've got to make for age. I'll get myself in better shape. I'll try to take care of myself and eat better, whatever. But if I'm going to keep up with you and Kevin and some of these other guys that I run around with out here in Denver who, you know, are skiing every weekend and charging down the hill, that's the way to live, I think. That goes, we're going back to Kipling again.
Yeah.
But if you're lumping me in with Mr. O'Neill, I am very flattered.
Well, I have a few other friends that have retired, and I love them. God bless it, Lou. They come to town, and we're supposed to go to dinner, and they can't make it because it's like it's raining. Gosh, you had nothing to do all day. How could you not get here by 5 o'clock? I mean, what's the matter with you? It's a whole different world. But anyway, this Brexit, I think that there's a. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, Lou, if somebody good writes a whole history of it, it'll be a study in every political science class worldwide. It has to be.
And so here's what. And by the way, I think Russia, this whole Russia thing with Trump and what was going on in the, you know, what I call, what we can optimistically call the deep state, will be another one. But this may be another example of it.
Well, I can barely hear you, so I'll talk. You got to move back where we were. Here's my prediction, Lou, and tell me where you think I'm wrong. On the whole Trump situation, I think they're going to find no direct connection from him to any really nefarious stuff. They're going to find pages and pages of the worst vetting of characters around you in that job, and anybody who happened to have an edge and was the biggest crook on earth you couldn't wait to stand next to, it's going to show an incredible lack of knowledge or thought on the people around you, and it's going to show a bigger light than we've ever seen on this whole international world of scumbags. And again, it'll be great reading. I'll bet there's nothing there for impeachment. I hope not. And I'll bet nothing directly leads to where, you know, he has to go. You think I'm right on this or not?
I think you're much closer to being right at assessment than the idea that there was some kind of collusion out there. I think, from my perspective, I don't think that's nearly as dangerous as what we're finding out about the FBI and the intelligence agencies. And again, I go back, and I think Brexit is going to mirror that. I think what you're going to see with Brexit eventually is a discussion about how the political elites, the bureaucrats, the unelected people in the EU, how those guys literally were, I won't say conspiring, but working together.
Conspiring and where they think Britain's so wrong in this, it's scary. Lou, we got a dash, buddy. Talk to you next week. We got a break. We got another break. I keep forgetting we have this second break.
I was going to say, am I looking at the clock?
No, you're not getting booted. SP Futures down 10. Dow Futures down 100. But I think the Brexit, when we come back, I'll tell you about the guy we had on the show who was one of the Belgium guys. God, what a pain in the ass that guy was. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Well, don't pay Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's Jay-Z on the board. Mr. Lou Michaels, SP Futures down 10, Dow Futures down 100, NASDAQ Futures down 23. In my own defense, I'm not a total nincompoop, as my mother used to say. A few of our segments, we go the whole half hour, and this time we break at 15. So it's not like we break every half hour at 15. So Manny sneaks this one in on me, I think, just to screw me up once a week, which he easily does, by the way. They make that twice. Anyway, Lou, I know you're not, you're my employment attorney, so don't let me go too far into this, but let's just say people have tendencies, different nationalities sometimes act a little different than others, and sometimes women act different than guys, which is what I think what most people want, although I'm not so sure some people don't want that anymore. Like I said, there's tendencies of different groups, and from what I know of the Brits, this thing with this Brexit, well, the guy we had on from What do you call the Congress in Belgium that sits there? The economic, or the
it's the European Union.
It's they're essentially House of Representatives, right? And there's like 800 people in there.
Yeah, they call it the Parliament, but it's the EU Parliament. Yeah,
and aren't there like 800 people in there? Some huge number.
Yeah. It's this monstrous overreaching bureaucracy that literally tells the people of the European Union that we know better for you than you do.
Right. Oh, and we have this, Kathy gets this guest, and the guy's from, I'm going to say Finland or Sweden, one of those places. I think it might have been Sweden. And I've only had about, all the years we've been doing this, Lou, I really only had about maybe three guests that I would say were I'll use the term pompous ass, and this guy was one of them. And he was, and I couldn't even get a normal thought out of the dude. He says, well, you know, it's obvious the politicians in Britain, they obviously did not explain this right to their people, and now they've got this really wrong vote, and now they've got to do something about it. I mean, the thought, you know, in other words, the thought they would actually leave never even crossed his mind. They were going to make it as miserable as possible for these people to leave, with the idea that if they made it miserable enough, the decision would change. Well, now,
I love the fact that, you know, you held their vote and they voted wrong.
Yeah. So the point being is that
You did not call him a fascist for saying that?
Well, I mean, I didn't, but I'm nice to my guests. I mean, you and Kevin, I can insult because I like you guys, but I can insult somebody else. Because you guys can insult right back, so that part's even. But he was just like these guys. You know, they obviously have the error of their ways, and it's up to basically everybody else to grind them to the point where they come to the other decisions. And this is not unpremeditated, Lou. So I mean, and knowing the Brits that I have, like I do, and when I'm watching up James Bond flick, but the guys say, of course it's a trap. But the British will, of course, take the trap as a challenge, right? The code breaking machine or whatever. So now, what's her name? Theresa May goes down there and she comes back. And this is the best deal we can do. Well, in the deal, and I can't believe she has the stones to put this in front of her people. In the deal is no out clause, where the original deal had an out clause, which they voted and they're out, or they want to be out. Whether they'll be out or not is another story. Now, but the new one has no out clause. So you can't even vote out. And people look at that and they go, what is this? there's no way.
Yeah, no, I'm at the point now watching this debate, and I follow it with great interest because of the political science aspect of it. I'm at the point where if I'm the leadership, the Brexit leaders, I'm at the point now where I basically tell the EU, you know what? London is a financial center. And they all speak English in London, and that's the language of international commerce, at least for right now. So we'll cut you guys off. We'll do our own thing here. We're perfectly comfortable to run our operation here. And you guys get along on your own and watch what happens.
Well, Jay-Z, you got something from a tweet for somebody?
It's off topic, though. I don't know if you want to finish your thought.
Well, let's finish the thought. What I'm saying, Lou, is that the problem you have here, and I really hope it doesn't, I think it's starting to work. It's starting to work.
Yeah.
Because if for instance, I'll go back to my example in Chicago, if everybody voted to go to 25 aldermen instead of 50, which I would do tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to say for the next year, the aldermen will be running ads telling you how you're never going to get a new garbage can, your street will never get fixed, and how much these people really do for you. So by the end of the year, I'm going to say that not a significant, but some of the people who voted for the 25 are going to think they made a mistake, because the other side is now going to be using essentially your money to tell you what an idiot you were for voting that way. And I think that's what's happened in Britain. I bet if they had to vote again today, just because people are so damn tired of it, I bet the vote loses. Just because of all the bad stuff they keep telling people on a daily basis that they caused by this vote. Oh God, you're going to have to use your passport to go into Ireland. Oh God, you're going to need a passport to take a pee in the train station. I mean, they're just piling on everybody to the point where somebody's going to suggest, why don't we just re-vote it? And that's exactly what everybody wants in Belgium and other places. And I think it doesn't win the second time, which is exactly the same thing would happen with the alderman stuff here.
I think that's exactly what they're hoping will happen. They're going to wear people down. That's the long strategy. Absolutely.
But I'm hoping the Brits are just as stubborn enough as I think they are. my read of them, and they don't fall for it. I'm really hoping they don't. But I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of corporate interests at stake there on some of this.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Jay-Z, you say you got a tweet a little off topic. That's okay. We'll try another topic.
For sure. Okay. So someone originally tweeted, James Harden has scored 57 or more points in two consecutive games. Zero of his made shots in those two games were assisted. Not a single one. And then another person on Twitter said, I really need to hear Stocks and Jock's opinion on this.
If they ever played, I used to play a real lot of basketball, both at the University of Chicago, which everybody was supposedly brilliant, and at several playgrounds, shall we say the offensive strategy, Lou, is first guy over half court with the ball shot. Now, is that?
Yeah, the only place I know that's actually made something like that work was Marymount University.
Yeah. But I'm going to say James Harden never saw a shot he didn't like.
No. No, and if you want a guy like that on your team, he thinks he's got everything.
But they have to score 25 shots. Well, some of them were probably three. So say 22 shots and not one assist That is spectacular. Not one time did somebody else bring the ball up and throw it to him and him shoot. Not once.
Yeah.
That is.
I would say that's not a good stat.
No, but I'm going to say the even if you're the most selfish ball player I've ever come across, there would have to be five or six assists on 20 some shots. Well, plus it's on 20 some Mason, don't you think? Unless he had, you know, 25 free throws or something, which I doubt. Nobody plays defense enough to give you.
I think that number shows a complete disdain for his teammates.
Yeah, I just bring it up. You know, he must be getting rebounds. You know, dribbling 15 times and then heaving it up there. You know, that's perfect. Because that was when I used to play it in a lot of the park districts, Lou, and even the University of Chicago. The story was, you're a big guy, you go underneath, you get the rebounds, I'm shooting. I'm like, okay. That's one person's view of how this game ought to go. You know,
That's exactly what I did. Ball, I didn't look to shoot, I looked to get rid of it.
Okay, well, how about if I'm open, you throw it to me, and if you're open, I throw it to you. No, that's not the way we do that here. Okay. Well, Joe, or Lou, thank you very again. Sorry about your dad, I'm glad everything worked out, and you're going to have there's going to be a service in Minneapolis at some point, right?
Right, that's the plan right now.
All right, buddy, well, keep us posted on that. I'm sure you get a lot of people, maybe even from the show, that'll be up there. SP Futures down 10, NASDAQ Futures down 23. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's John@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Low and rope-based stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Allen. She's Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures down 10. And NASDAQ, Dow Futures down 95. And NASDAQ Futures down 23. We got a big miss in Morgan Stanley this morning. 80 cents versus 89. They missed on revenue, too. Ouch. They're down about 6% trading 41.90. This was after Goldman was up 7 or 8% yesterday. It's not unanimous kind of across the board on some of the banks, even though the XLF said its best week in, like, really a long time. So, we'll see how much this, if this turns that group down at all, today. We'll see on that. So Jay-Z, what, are you guys at all, now you're taking your money in banking class. Is any of these classes broken off into what's going on economically here or in Europe or any place? Do the guys go off topic at all, or do
not really. I mean, sometimes we'll, like, read things on the Wall Street Journal and stuff, but mainly they're still pretty much just talking about basics, like learning about, like, annuities and bonds.
So what do you know about annuities and bonds? Could you teach a class now?
Absolutely not. Although I would love to. I love my professor. She's really interesting to listen to.
Maybe
well-educated woman.
Why don't you have her on as a guest? We could use a lady economist.
I will definitely pitch
it. Is she a monetarist school or Keynesian?
She hasn't gotten into that yet, really. She's very, like I said, I mean, it's only the, fourth class.
Well, when you get into grad school, especially if you got some of the name guys, like a Friedman or a Stigler, they love to be driven off topic, and they would talk, but you're still expected to know all the stuff they were teaching anyway, even if they didn't teach it. So you got to be careful how much you kick them off topic, because he was always happy to talk about the economics of the taxi cab industry or the surgeons or
of
something.
The taxi cab industry.
Oh, it was one of his favorites. Now, why is that?
I don't know why.
Because it was essentially a city owned monopoly that controlled the amount of cab medallions, how many cabs could be in the street.
Interesting.
You couldn't just decide you wanted to be a cab the next day. You had to wear only a certain number of cab medallions, and they controlled through licensing and, whatever. I mean, I think they like to think that they made sure. Fari, how are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. I was describing to Jay-Z the economic reason why a professor would talk about the taxi cab industry, and that it was a controlled monopoly by the city, where they controlled both the wages, or not the wages, but they control the fares, they control the amount of cabs, mm-hmm. by medallions and so forth, and it's always been an example of essentially a controlled industry by a governing body.
Well, what's it like now with Uber in the picture?
Well, that's the whole thing. Uber. When you paid, and this is, we'll talk about this for a second. We want to hear Fari, but when you paid $250,000 for the last cab medallion, what you essentially are paying for, and Fari, correct me if I'm wrong, is you're paying for the city to control the amount of cabs, and a month later,
and fares.
Yeah, and fares, and the last thing you want is a mayor, and I'll lob this one out there, and it's public knowledge, whose brother was a big owner of Uber, all of a sudden deciding Uber's okay, and they don't have to pay anything. Well, that's, talk about a kick in the nuts, right?
Yeah.
If you're the guy who bought the last medallion, right, Fari? Now, wait a minute, now anybody can be a cab? Well, yeah, we decided to change this month. Okay. And then you hear all the people saying, well, Uber's not really a cab because you're online. And I'm like, wait a minute. Pick somebody's behind up in one spot, drop it off in another spot, you're a cab, right? Duh, right? Am I right or not? You pick exactly. up a, you pick up a box at your house and drop it off at Jay-Z's house, you're a cartage company. And however you describe it, that's what you do, right? I mean, just saying. There's my rant. But so yeah, it's if you're one of the people who you're paying for essentially the city that kind of money to keep the numbers down, to keep it not competitive. Right, Farid?
I agree. You're buying into a monopoly as a private club.
Yeah.
Think of it that way.
And all of a sudden, it'd be like...
It has a good income.
And imagine if you would, Jay-Z, I'll apply this further. Imagine if you would, you get some really rich boyfriend, and he comes from money like Farid, and he says, I want to be in the biggest...
Easy now.
I want to be in the biggest private club ever, and he ponies up $100 million, or $1 billion, whatever the number is, for the Bears.
Okay,
so he pays his billion, and the next day Congress gets, you know, basically a hair up there behind and says, we're not going to have a monopoly in football. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, there's three more leagues. And all of a sudden, your boyfriend's sitting there go, what did I just pay $1 billion for? There are only supposed to be 30 teams, and we control it. Now anybody can have a team. What the hell kind of deal is this?
Mm-hmm.
Or if all of a sudden the antitrust exemption that baseball has all of a sudden is gone the week after you buy a team. Imagine the sinking feeling. It's like buying a stock and finding out that the chairman's been cooking the books for 5 years, 2 minutes after you bought it.
We did that one of those.
Is that a sinking feeling, Farid? No, it is.
Very bad.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the compadre with them, the people who helped him, enabled them, was PW, Pricewaterhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so what's going on with the markets? We've had this... I know you're not...
We went short Thursday, and Monday night, there was an investment club down here. They all looked at me, a bunch of Trumpkins, and said, you were short? Like, are you on this planet? What's happening with you? And now, I had not seen him do December. So I had too many obligations. I said, listen, guys, hello, what were you in December? Oh, yeah, if I had been here, you guys have been needing more. I should have brought in a bunch of carts of Kleenex for you guys.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, what am I doing? Also, hello. This is issue 666 of Time and Digest. Who's ranked one in the country? So all quiet down. So one of them says, no, Mr. Hamzy. I said, I'm Farry. No, Mr. Hamzy. Farry. I'm the same guy. Nothing has changed. What's the question? He goes, what do we do now? I said, well, I went short on Thursday. Not much happened on Friday. We rallied on Monday. I'm sorry, was it Monday? No, I think it was Tuesday. I'm sorry, on Tuesday. We rallied on Tuesday. This was it, yeah. Not much happened. I think we went a little bit up, a little bit down, and then big rally on Tuesday. Are you going to still keep your short? I said, you know, you don't change these things every other day. It's not change of clothing. It's not a taking out a shower. It's a market call. And part of my reason is that I think we wrote back in December. We're looking for a severe down, followed by bounce back, a dead cat bounce, followed by next leg down. If my analog calculations are correct, and they're still very preliminary, because I'm time bankrupt now, I've got into another project. And no, she's not another blonde. No, please. A different project. I just got, haven't had a chance to finish it yet, but if my calculations on the analog are right, and if you look at like 2011, 2015, how accurate it was deadly accurate. As a matter of fact, Frank Russell Company portfolio manager presented at a risk conference of SIBO in Switzerland. We have a rollover that will not finish. Will have legs. Will not. It will go a little dead cat bounce, another leg down. Up to, I'd say. Late March, maybe into maybe early April into May area. So and as you know, I hope I'm wrong for the sake of the nation. But as you know, which is the reason we go there is because of it's not fundamentals. Let me finish that thesis. It's not a fundamental issue. The company fundamentals are strong. It's not technicals because if you look at especially December. Technicals were not holding. We went several days, if not probably week and a half, of extreme oversold condition. So the last one is left is sentiment. And the way I read that is that confidence has been given up. We saw that 2001, we saw it in 2008. Now, is it going to be that severe? I don't think so, but still going to be a heavy drain. And if you look at the pattern of by log return or percent change, I prefer log return, but you can make it simple, use a percent change, of the depth of each level down, the severest part comes toward the end, which is where people throw out baby with bathwater. Let's just imagine, Jay-Z, yep. Just imagine Dutch Chief opens that window in the middle of the cold of the winter and throws a baby with a bathwater. You guys are on 9th floor, right? Out of the 9th floor, boom. If we see a few of those, then that's the bottom. We haven't seen anything close to that. These guys are bullish again. The IBD is having seminars, I think, already maybe last Saturday. They had a huge seminar here in Miami. This is the time to buy. Okay, fine. Thank you.
Well, Friday, the reason why everybody's bullish again is we've beaten our new Fed chair into line, and he's going to concern himself on our asset prices like the 1%ers want him to, and that's mm-hmm. what he's doing. And the guy has absolutely caved, in most people's opinion. I don't happen to think he has, by the way.
No. He didn't cave, but he said, actually, he stood his ground, and market didn't like it. Okay? That was on the presser, the official press conference. When he was with the other two Fed chairs, or former Fed chairs, yeah, we have only one at a time, they reiterated that we will not be bullied, we're independent, but in the meantime, he threw a little curveball saying, I'm going to be data dependent, and therefore, if the data is not good, you could be assured that we're going to be flexible.
Farr, if you fast backward, can you do that, fast backward? If you fast backward 3 weeks and listen to Comedy Central, listen to Fox News, listen to Grumpino,
right.
All you're going to have 15 people a day that were experts on monetary policy.
Exactly.
And all they were doing was saying how he was wrong doing this and that, how they shouldn't have done this and shouldn't have done that. And there isn't a person in that group, and I include Grumpino, that could even explain to you what the Fed funds rate is. Yet, all of a sudden, none of those people are talking. So everybody is at least convinced in their own mind that they've beaten this guy in line. Now, whether they have or not remains to be seen,
I don't think he had much of a chance to do anything different, Tom. I think he was true to himself.
Well,
he said, listen, if things get bad, I have to tighten up because of inflation.
He has
rally up too fast. Econ data so far has been good. Here's the test after this shutdown. Look at the non-farm payroll in 2 weeks from now. We've had 99 months of positive non-farms. This is not just 800,000.
First of all, you're probably not going to get it.
The dry cleaners, the movie theaters, all have to cut back because 800,000 can't even feed their kids. They're on paycheck to paycheck.
Right, I don't want to get too technical here because I'm not, a Fed guy, but he has a couple of very serious issues.
When I started my own Fed, you can come and run it.
Well, I mean, I think he has a couple of issues.
Enough.
That nobody's ever had to deal with before. One is that when people talk about the funds rate right now, mm-hmm. I don't want to go into this because I talked about it the other day. They talk about the funds rate as if it's the funds rate by definition it used to be. It's not. The place is awash with currency, and the Fed is paying this interest rate to people mm-hmm. overnight. They're competing in the funds market. If they said we're not paying any interest overnight, I'm going to say the actual funds rate that banks would pay each other drops immediately down to half of what it is, maybe even more, right? And it also has this problem with the mortgages and the other stuff where they did the QE, because they bought pieces of paper that they can't control the runoff, which nobody else has had to deal with. I mean, if a Fed 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, if Farr and I are running the Fed, you got to imagine that, and we decided, okay, if we decided we wanted to pour money...
They'll never put a fascist like me in charge, please.
But what would we do? We would go out, and on a Monday and a Wednesday, through the open market at New York, this is how it works, they go into the market, and they call up their buddies at Goldman and the rest of these people, that we're going to be buying treasuries today. Goldman gets to front run them. They pay commissions, and they go get them ahead of them, and they go buy it. So it's to be a primary dealer is a huge deal. then those guys, all they do is make money. So, okay, yeah. But normally we're going to go out and we're going to buy 5-year notes, we're going to buy 10-year note, maybe we'll even buy some 30-year bonds, whatever it is we feel like buying, because they play with the yield curve a little bit. And, you know, and that's beyond my pay grade, whether, how they pick which one they do. But they pick one, and they start buying some of the stuff. Well, at least you know, Fari, that I've got a 5-year note, all right? The thing is going to pay me an interest, X number of days. And, oh, by the way, at the end of 5 years, I'm going to get my check from the Treasury, and I'll take it in, or I'll go buy another one, I'll do something. That's totally different than going out and spending $1 trillion on mortgages, and all of a sudden the checks are flying at you. You have no idea when Fari Hamzy, brother, is going to go get a house, pay off the old mortgage, and the Fed gets a check.
Right.
I mean, you can't control it. And one thing you want to do is be able to control it. And they can't.
Same thing with cars.
So what they end up having to do is
Did they do anything on the cars or no? They never bought
anything. No, I don't think they ever bought anything. You know who bought a lot of that paper, Fari? And it's maybe just as bad, and this is another one of my issues with the Fed, is they've driven stuff off their balance sheet. Not their balance sheet, out of their purview. Santander Bank is a big buyer of less than prime auto loans. Mm-hmm. Now, who the hell controls Santander Bank? I mean, we don't. I mean, I get to the extent they have an office here, maybe. That's my biggest fear.
Say the name of the bank again, please.
Santander, the Spanish bank.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're a huge player in it.
But they're in trouble, too.
Yeah. They're a huge player in the subprime auto loans. You know, the 11, 12% auto loans, not the 1%ers or the 0%. So if
you got a job, man, you get a loan.
Or if you're, I'm going to say if you're whatever descent you happen to be, living on the north side of Chicago and want to buy a cab,
yeah.
you're paying 11.5% for that new Prius. For a cab.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you're not paying those. That guy's not walking in there and getting that cab for 0%. He's paying 11 or 12.
Jesus.
And Santander's underwriting a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
From what I understand from my elves in the industry.
Well, that's the odds they're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to charge a lot because they're doing subprime.
Right. So.
And to pay for the bad ones, a lot of bad ones are going to have. I heard that, was it the car loans? Yeah. And I don't know how true this is, but they've been complaining that there's a. We almost have as much in bad auto loans right now, non-performing.
Yeah.
They're 90 days and over, as we did in the mortgages back in 2008.
Yeah, the numbers aren't as big, but yeah,
can't be that big.
But Fari, ask yourself, well, student loans have now buzzed by consumer credit by 50% higher. But ask yourself, in the last year, now General Motors just had good profits, and the average price of a new car... This is, I'm going over a year ago statistics, and I'm off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Why I remember this stuff, Fari, I have no idea. It's like 31.7.
Right.
You know what the average loan is? You have any idea what the average loan is? It's like 29.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
So let me get this straight. You're even financing part of the sales tax, for God's sake. So... Now, if I go in and I get this car for 31.7 and I walk out with a loan of 29, I'm going to ask you a real simple question. Did I even really buy it?
Yeah.
I mean, the thought of, and the loans are what, 7-8 years now? I mean, they go more than 7, don't they?
No. Yeah. I've seen 7. I mean, Chase, let me put it this way. Chase is offering 7, and I said, this is ridiculous. Loan should be 3 years for a car. Otherwise, forget it.
Well, you're not going to pay off $31,000 in 3 years. Well, plus cars last longer.
Depends, cars last longer.
No. I mean, the rule of thumb for
some people can.
The rule of thumb for the Southside guy, me, is
Southside guy is different. Right?
Well, you never get a loan longer than a warranty. And a lot of cars, some cars come with a 5-year warranty now. So. If I was going to do that, I'd get a 5-year loan if I had a 5-year warranty. The last thing you want is a 5-year loan and a 3-year warranty. talk about suicide.
Very clever.
No, not very clever. But this is what I think the national banks, and there's no way to quantify it, Fari. When you use your charts and so forth and you're kind of smelling out a rat, I'm looking around for what the rat might be. And I think the rat might be the worldwide the amount of loans that the feds combined have shoved off the normal balance sheets. And you know, and when there was an old I used the term the other day. I should have. I called a guy a fossil face, but an old Fed guy from like years ago on there talking about you have to make the banks more and more capital, because these guys are so focused, Ferry, that if the world falls apart, if somehow or another we gave Citigroup enough money to where they survive, we've done our job. If everybody else is in the rat hole, and I don't think that's their job. I think they need to protect the system, not just the five people they like.
That's what Henry Paulson would call moral hazard.
Yeah, and like the Chinese are now that they woke up and they said, hey, we got a problem, because all these loans are either with their equivalent of a payday loan or they have a lot of state chartered banks, whatever they call them, region. What's the term of a Chinese state? I don't know. I'm sure. Is it a province? I don't know what it is, but and they have dollar and euro denominated and probably yen denominated loans. They don't control those, far.
I mean, gotcha.
So I mean that to me is a problem. I mean the last thing the Fed wants, in my mind, is for you and I and Jay-Z and all her friends at DePaul to throw $1 million apiece in a pot and start lending money on the side as a lender to plumbers and electricians and people like that. Because we're not a bank.
Jay-Z, you got a mill? I'll come on borrow from you.
But I'm saying we're not a bank.
We get good terms.
Yeah, we're not a bank. We're not anything. Okay, but how does the Fed control that? We're not under their purview. There's no SIPC there, or I mean, FDIC. We don't have checks. We don't have anything. We're a funded. Now, is the solution to turn banks into not banks? That protects the banks, but it doesn't protect the quote system, does it?
No, it doesn't.
All right. So, if you think on your charts and so forth, and I get the same feeling that I'm not a Fibonacci guy. Far, I asked you this last week. We're probably what, 70% back on the sell off, and now it's kind of we're back to now. What are we going to do? Time, I think, and I don't know.
No, we came back up 70%. No, we have not.
Well, I thought we were up to almost like
not
two-thirds.
Even 50 yet.
Oh, all right.
No, look at the chart from October. Remember, it started from October.
All right. Okay.
No.
All right.
If dead cat bounce by definition is not that high.
All right.
If it's that high, it's not. It's a recovery, and it would have been much sharper and would be a V bottom. There's not a V bottom.
All right. So
listen, the low was put in Christmas Eve.
All right.
There's Christmas Eve. There's no way. If it was a V bottom, would be here. Would be a lot higher. No. Listen, we haven't solved the fundamental issues.
Well, let me
sentiment, which is what confidence in the institutions.
Well, let me rephrase the question.
You saw what Pelosi, not one of my favorites ever. Yeah. What a power play she played yesterday. She disinvited the president.
Yeah.
From what he loves to do, which is to be in front of TV. And very unique and controlled venue called the both houses of Congress. Plus the diplomatic court, the Supreme Court, Pentagon brass.
Yeah.
None. Boom. Yeah.
Well,
we've got to resolve this confidence issue we have in our institutions. Some of which Grand Pinot's created, including things about the CIA and the FBI. Anything he doesn't like, they must be bad. Oh, so Grand Pinot's the only good guy? Ah, okay, I see, got it.
Let me,
we got to resolve that. That's going to take time. That's kind of not going to happen in a couple of weeks.
You know what these knuckleheads have done, and I use the term, you know, obviously there's a lot of good people that work for government. They're going out of their way here to mess with us. Yesterday we had a tweet. It was Tuesday we had a tweet. Somebody tweeted in that, you know, actually after the tax cut, what have the revenues been compared like to last year? So of course I go to you got to do is Google monthly treasury receipt and expenditures, and the first or second thing that pops up is this page that tells you going back, you know, 5 years and then monthly and what the monthly receipts and expenditures are for the federal government. Guess what? Unavailable due to shutdown. You tell me you got to take the friggin' graph out of there, you know, or the chart because of the shutdown that I can't see what last month's numbers are because we're shut down. Give me a break. I mean, are they trying to make this as tough as possible?
Well, they're probably not getting your reporting done properly.
Well, do you think we're going to have a labor number in 2 weeks? I'm thinking.
I don't know.
I'm thinking. I don't know.
I would be if Grand Pinot has any say in it. No, because numbers are going to be bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's going to break the 99 minus streak, most likely. I think we'll see a negative non-farm.
Well, last
I don't mean we're going to get a low number. We're going to get a negative non-farm.
Well, last
you know
month,
why?
Last business month,
have to survive. They see the customers on another round, they cut back themselves.
Well, last month...
Now, I know non-farm is private payroll. Oh, I'm saying. That includes government, doesn't it?
Yeah,
non-farm.
Yeah.
Private payroll is separate. You're going to see both of them pull back. Yeah.
Well, Carl could not believe, or he couldn't find the other... the household survey had us going up like one and change last month. And they somehow come out with... But December is a... November and December are huge... Are months with a lot of... December is a big
temporary workers.
Well, but it's also... It's also a big month in terms of... what do they do? Where they even out the months? The... adjustment. It's a big adjustment month.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
well, they did. They also hit October too. The October and the revisions. You mean revision? In the field lingo, October and November were both revised up pretty decently in the December report.
Well, and I think what the adjustments I read once that if you don't hire at least 200,000 people in December. It's considered a negative because that's how many people normally get hired in December.
Gotcha. Okay.
So what Carl does differently is he uses the household survey, and he pulls all the adjustments out, and he compares this December to last December because he figures there was a Christmas last December, too. And then if you compare year over year, you get a decent number with the unadjusted numbers.
Right.
Is his thing. Now, whether or not that's – what do you think of these Morgan Stanley not doing as well as the other guys? You got 30 seconds.
I haven't seen what did they do? They missed?
Yeah, they missed by big time. 80 cents versus 89. Oh. Revenue missed. They're down about 6%.
Yeah, Morgan. Well, I work for one and consult for the other. Morgan Stanley is not Goldman Sachs.
No, they don't seem to be as close to the government as Goldman Sachs. Is that a fair statement?
Well, they're also white shoe. They're very gentle. Goldman Sachs are hungry. The richest investment bankers in this world and the traders in the world are under the same house on one roof. One of the hungriest people out there. They work hard. I'm not saying Morgan Stanley doesn't, but they don't have the same drive. Different blood.
I'd say the other guys have
different tribe. They're from different tribe.
I would say right. SP Futures still down 9.25. Fiery, thank you. Talk to you next week, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with
with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomashi, Jay-Z on the board. We'll have Mr. John Neal in a second. S&P Futures coming back here. Actually, with David Andelman, with John Neal tomorrow. I'm sorry, I'm getting my days are mixed up here. S&P Futures down 5.25, Dow Futures down 52, NASDAQ Futures down 4. We were down roughly twice that when we came in, so we're coming back up here. We also had the Philly Fed came out with a decent number, which is the first one in a while. Every other one of these Fed, manufacturing district numbers has been horrible the last month or so. This is the first kind of uptick, so I guess that's probably better news than we've seen. DAX up down 37.4%, FTSE down 56.8%. They are still having the Brexit issues, which we talked a little bit about earlier. CAC around down 25.5%. Over in Asia, we got down, but not real heavy, considering they've been up pretty heavy the last few days. Nikkei down 40 points, 0.2%. Shanghai down 11.4%. Hang Seng down 146.5. We've got oil. Big move here today is, again, in natural gas, but oil's down $1.16, 51.15. Brent down $1.15. So they're getting whacked. That's a 2% move. Natural gas up 4%. 353 as we're going to get cold this weekend, evidently. RBOB gas down 3 cents, 138. Home heating oil down 3 cents, 185. And the last one we talk about is gold now down $1.60. Silver down 8 cents. They were up a little bit earlier and they've turned negative here just a little bit. What do you got for us, Trevi? Weather for sports, Jay-Z?
Thanks, Chief. Hello, hello, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago weather today is cloudy with a high of 34, a low of 26. Phoenix is also partly cloudy with a high of 70, low of 47. The only score I do have to report is for the Coyotes, who beat the Sharks 6-3 last night. Or should I attempt at making a joke about the Bulls like you did earlier?
The Bulls, you know, did not play. Therefore, they did not lose.
True that. And then in traffic, there is an accident on the Eisenhower going west just before Austin Boulevard, causing some congestion. Traffic delays up to 20 minutes. Nothing else. Back to you.
Yeah, did you say Kevin opined in something about the... hello, David.
Hello.
Kevin opined in on the Uber thing?
Yeah, give me one sec.
All right, we'll give you one sec. David, what's up, man?
We
were down, I won't say heavy, but down more this morning, and we're coming back. Seems like the market is a little more buoyant. If we're down in the morning, it seems like the Bite of Dippers are back somewhat. We don't know for how long, but they are definitely back. The trend seems to be... the last 4 or 5 days, more up than down, although we sort of gave up the ghost last night in the close. I couldn't figure out exactly where that came from, like the last 2 minutes. What was that? Was there some piece of news I missed?
Not that I know of. The market is, I don't want to say overdone, but it's all the oscillators are very extended. You conquered the 2,600, you know, cash index for the S&P 500 by... a fair chunk, 13 handles roughly, and if the market's bad, it should come back and retest that. And if the market's good, it should come back and retest that. And that should be the deciding factor of whether the market continues up or if it fails there. The long should want a break. I mean, who wants to buy a rally after what we saw for 4 months?
Yeah, well, it's... I mean,
you buy a break, that's fine, and the market's giving breaks, especially overnight. But buying a rally when you have the relative strength indexes in the mid to high 70s, some over 80, and the raw stochastics in the high 80s and low 90s, no thank you.
Well, what is causing, I mean, obviously if you knew the answer to this, we'd all be which, with our clients.
But what, you're going to ask anyway.
I'm going to ask anyway. What this pattern of, we look like, as my grandfather used to say in Italian, scatta, all night long, and then all we do is buy all day. But it's been like the last week and a half. That some people that have sold spoos down 15, 20 points at 6 o'clock at night have got that stuck where the sun don't shine about how many days in a row.
That's, I mean, there is no answer to that, but, you know, when the market bottoms, and it looks to me like it has bottomed, even though for the very short term, I think, as I've said, a correction is way overdue, 3%, 4%, 5%. You know, it. You see down, you see oscillators get into the single digits, and you start selling breaks, that's no good either. So, you know, any time, but especially this time, when we saw what we saw up through Christmas Eve, and then when we saw what we've seen after that, you do not want to sell a break, and you do not want to buy a rally.
Yeah, true. Seems like, Jay-Z, you have something for us?
Yes, I do. Okay. Kevin tweeted in and said, correction for Tom. Uber doesn't claim it isn't a taxi cab because it's online. It claims to be ride sharing. Whether you buy that is another matter, but being online is not the reasoning.
Okay.
That's all.
We're trying to.
He just wanted to knock you, you know.
Well, I know. We're trying to. So, David, I'll ask both of you guys the eternal question: how many fat people can dance on the head of a pin?
I have no idea what that question means.
I mean, the idea that Uber somehow, where there's a driver and there's a passenger in the back seat, all of a sudden they're not a cab. They're rideshare. They're not something. I mean,
well, it's all about the technicalities.
It's all about the
technicalities.
It's always about something. But the fact is, it sure seems to me like it's pretty much the same thing. Although I can't hail one is the only difference. Whatever.
Well, I don't know the legalities and I don't know the municipal definitions, so I'm just off the seat of my pants. But the difference is that, you know, a cab company has a name on the cab, and I would expect that many times they either own or lease that vehicle to an individual. That individual may or may not be employed. But with an Uber, it's not their vehicle, it's the individual's vehicle, and that person is sharing their vehicle for a fee, and oftentimes will pick up more than one passenger at a time to share the vehicle rather than run a meter.
All right,
so there's differences.
Knowing
this is seat of the pants, and I don't know the legality.
No, knowing your age and knowing Jay-Z's age, I'm going to say what you just said has been around for as long as you and I have been alive, and there is a term for it. And you found that a lot of it in the minority neighborhoods where cabs, regular cabs, didn't go. And what's the term? Jay-Z, you'll never know. But don't tell me. Tell me there's not a tremendous similarity between an Uber and a jitney cab. It's the same thing.
Yeah, hand to God, however old I am or not, I don't know that term.
Really? I can't believe it.
I've never heard that term until today.
That's unbelievable, I mean, to me.
No, I have never heard it.
All right, Jay-Z, what's a jitney cab?
I'm guessing some similar, I don't know,
if
carpooling.
If you went on the south or west sides, like. You went on the south or west side, and you had people waiting at the for the bus, and maybe it's raining, maybe whatever it is. You had people that back in the day that had a big car like there used to be, right? Right, David? They'd pull up to the bus stop and five people would hop in, and instead of paying $1.50 to get on the bus, all five of them would hand over a dollar and the guy driving downtown. It's a jitney cab.
I only lived on the south side till I was 10, And obviously at 10 years old, I didn't know that term. And I've never heard that term.
And every once in a while, the city would try and crack down on the jitney cabs because they weren't licensed. And then people on the south side would say, well, okay, we want the regular cabs out here. And the regular cabs would say, we don't want to go there, and they'd leave them alone. Sort of the same thing.
I feel like they have similar things like that on, like, college campuses. Because I was at Ole Miss one time, and they have, like, these big vans that just, like, pick people up from downtown and then take them to, like, their off-campus houses. But, like, there's, like, a standard rate for, like, each person in the car. Like, it doesn't matter, like, how far or how close it is.
I'll bet they have to at least have some sort of a license if they're picking up students.
Yeah.
Well, you know what a jitney cab essentially is, David? It is a guy who rides, you know, the little bicycles where you get in the back and the guy pedals you away. Only he's got a car, not a bicycle.
Right.
But Google that term. David, you learned something this morning, bud. We always learn.
I always tell my kids, you know, try and make sure that every single day you learn one thing from life.
Yep. And I wonder if Kevin knew that. He'll tweet in whether he did. I bet he did. All right, David. I mean, to me, I mean, Fari corrected me on the numbers, which of course I'm usually wrong on. It does seem to me we've had a big sell off. That part doesn't seem to. It's fact, and we've had a pretty solid bounce back. And a lot of people are the tout is, well, that sell off was something we needed for a while. We're right back to the next 8 years is straight up, and just put your money in buy and hold, and give me 1%, and everybody's happy. I think we're reaching a point here where we have to make a decision. Are we just going to stall out here for a year, 2 years, 5 years? Are we going to go back down? Are we going to go back?
It may just be something in between.
Yeah,
I mean, it really might. You know what? Just by second grade math, you know, we've seen price earnings ratios between 14 and 18.5 over the last 5-6 years. So let's just say that's the range of valuations. And 18.5 was obviously well above historical norms, and it cited, you know, substantial earnings growth like 22% in corporate profits that we saw in 2017 and 17% in 2018. So the valuation has to come down when the tout, I mean, nobody knows what the corporations are going to make, you know, this year. It may be negative if things really go bad with trade and the Fed and the like. Or it may be great if all of a sudden these factors are, you know, are ameliorated. That said, let's just say that it grows by 5%. The tout's about 7.9 now, but let's be more conservative and say 5%. So if you add 5% to what the estimate is for the whole year of $162 for the S&P 500, that's $8 or $170. So if you take a middle of the road PE of 16 and multiply it times, you know, 170, you're at about 27.20. We're at about 26, you know, 08. So that looks like 4 or 5% to the upside for the year. You take the bottom end of the range, and we might be at, you know, 23. So somewhere between 23 and 27.25, I think, is truth. So the market may just kind of go from 5% up to 10% down, and that may be it for the year.
Well,
why does it have to be way, way up or way, way down?
Well, it doesn't. And we've actually,
I don't see why, you know, now everything's good, so buy every break. Or no, we got to test the lows. Why does either of those things have to be true?
Well, we've gone through 5 and 10 year periods in my lifetime where, at the end of the period, we're at the same price and we started with all kinds of rallies and sell-offs.
That may be true too. Yeah. We may end the year right where we are now.
With all kinds of, I'll use the term fun in the meantime, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm kind of starting to see, David, and I don't like to see it, and I hope I only see it a little bit, but I'm getting this feeling since we have, you know, we use the term the cartelization of, we had one of our guests use that term, the cartelization of America. I think that if we were going to do this right, and I think we certainly try and do it right, if we had, we had 15 Jay-Z's, we wouldn't need 15, we'd have 10. Can you imagine 10 Jay-Z's? Oh God, that'd be
interesting room.
It'd be sweet.
It'd be nice. I mean,
they'd
all be arguing how they had to go to some.
We wouldn't need any art on the wall.
It'd be a really loud room.
Yeah, it'd be loud, and they'd all be saying, "I can't believe it! I got to go to this formal thing tonight, but this is terrible." You know, that type of thing. Anyway, the research that I'd love to be able to do, David, I'm going to say that if we could be stock pickers, and you do your stuff, you know, with the barons and everything. And it's not like I don't
investors business. Dale. Okay, no barons.
All right, whatever. you research using somebody else's guidance, and you use other people. And I, because of the different stocks that our clients or my clients own a lot of, I watch those more than I do other ones. I'm going to say that if we could segregate the top 20 stocks that are in the cartelization business to the point where they have pricing power versus other companies that do not, I'm going to say they're the winners. I mean, you look at the Netflix yesterday. If they raise their prices 15% and they can still continue to grow one client or lose less than 4% of their clients, they're going to have a big year. Yet I'm not so sure that's necessarily the kind of progress we're looking for. And as things get more and more concentrated, the PE ratio of the top 300 firms or 100 firms, I think gets further and further away from how every man is doing. And we're kind of down that path here. I don't know if we're down it so far we can't recover.
I agree with you, and yet, you know, and I mean, hey, that was the argument in 17 and 18 with the FANG names and the like. And, well, they're the, you know, high-tech of the high-tech, and they're the most innovative, and there's the growth and whatever, and the top five, you know, or if you throw in Microsoft, you know, top six, they're 50% of the NASDAQ and all that. You know what? Folks have pointed out, if you go back, you know, literally 18, 20 years, you know, to dot-com boom and then bust and then even beyond, you can generally pick out any two-year period and it's going to be the same thing. They may not have had a name, but they dominated the indexes. I mean, and other than, you know, equal weighted index, I mean, the Dow's, you know, by price, not by capitalization, but, it, you know, or something like the Kansas City Value Line, which no one looks at anymore. That's what it's going to be. If they're weighted according to capitalization or price or something of the like, you're going to get this imbalance of five or six market leaders that dominate the index.
I'm sort of
deviates, you know, from the quote-unquote common man or woman.
Well, I guess my point is, in the take healthcare, okay, I don't think that we chop it up into its pieces. Now, you can't buy these pieces, but if you could, I'm going to say I would not buy if there was a group that had, you know, 500 doctors in it, a corporation that had 500 doctors as their employees. I'm going to say I don't buy that group, even though I would like to, and that's, I might, you know, and I have a lot of doctors that I think real highly of. I don't buy that group. I mean, if I'm a cynic, I'm going to buy the prescription, especially generic drug group, because those are the guys that can buy something that used to be $5 and turn it into 200 and get away with it. They have the pricing power. Whether they should or they shouldn't, I don't know. I'm guessing Home Depot does. Enough other people are out of business in a lot of the areas that they are. They can raise their prices 10% tomorrow, and they're smart enough not to do it on the tile. They're going to do it on the glue and the other stuff. Same way they're not going to do it on the plasterboard, but God help you if you got to buy the tape or the compound. You know what I'm saying? They could do that tomorrow. We've gotten concentrated in a lot of areas. Obviously, universities can do it. Now, whether that's some combination of federal money, not federal money, but there's areas, and it appears now that Netflix is flexing their muscles. And if you talk to anybody I've ever known who loves Amazon, whether they have the stock or don't, will tell you right to your face their game is to put everybody out of business, and once they have them down with their foot on their neck, they're going to raise all the prices and screw everybody, and they're going to make more money than you got. Am I right? I mean, that everybody thinks...
You're right, but I don't think the comparison between Amazon and Netflix is, you know, really a good comparison. And the reason is right today, yes, they both probably have pricing power. But I think Netflix is a desperation move to try and free up funds because they're cash flow negative to continue to improve, you know, content and expand content to maintain their edge. But Disney's coming, Google's coming, Amazon's coming, everybody's coming, and it's no longer, you know, a non-competitive field.
The first talking head was, I'll bet Amazon raises the Prime within a week.
Right, and they can, yeah. Because, you know, that opens up the movies and the like, and forget their retail edge. Their edge in cloud and in other Amazon services and whatever is only rivaled at all by Microsoft. They just have such a huge edge, but Netflix is losing that edge. That's the difference.
Okay, but I'm saying just on a price.
I think there's a reason to be on breaks, on $100, $200 breaks, to be bullish Amazon. I think after a 53% move from the lows on Christmas Eve, I do not see a reason to be bullish Netflix.
By the way, the earnings are coming out. They're tonight, right? They're today, I know.
Yeah. And it may go up another $60, but I just can't see it. I think that that slowly but surely the walls are closing in on them.
Okay, but in terms of, I mean, if this
you
was
you got Hula, you got, you know,
I understand all that, but in terms
you got
of
Roku, you got Amazon, you got Google, you got Apple, I mean, you got Disney. I mean, come on.
Okay, but my point being, they raised, let's round number, they raised 15%. Now, if you and I were in other businesses, we would say, we're going to raise 15%. Are we going to lose less than 15% of our people? And if the answer is no, then it's probably a good deal. I'm going to say this time
no
next year.
For how long?
Okay, but I'm saying at this time next year, you're going to the total number of Netflix subscribers will be higher than it is today.
Only internationally. Domestically, I think it'll be down.
Really? Okay. I mean, you know more about that stuff than I do. I mean, I have more than I have regular cable, which I probably shouldn't, but I do, and I put like, you know, three or four shows on my DVD, and I watch history channels and stuff. God, David, I have more than enough to watch.
If I'm a Prime member, I can get Amazon Video for free, and if I'm not an Amazon Prime member, I can get it, you know, on Comcast. For $9.95, why do I want to pay $11 to $13 for Netflix when the library is bigger?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
will have less domestic. You know, they may have more, and certainly have more revenue for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Year from now, not domestically. I don't believe it.
Well, Audrey's got these. She's got Prime, and she's got something else. What's the something stick you put in there,
Fire Stick,
and she turns this thing on, and by the time she gets done paging through all this stuff for 15 minutes, I go, get that off and put something on. I can't.
I thought you were going to say you were asleep.
Oh, well, damn near. We used to have a guy. We lived down south. Quick story. Dr. J, and I and, JD, who still works with us, we all lived in this big, huge house in Beverly. We each, get a load of this day, we each had our own level. It was a few steps, and there'd be a bathroom and a bedroom, a few more steps, bathroom. So it was like we were living in a hotel versus a house. So all of a sudden, John says, hey, Paul's his brother, was the nicest man I've ever met, who died of ALS a few years ago, tragically. His roommate in college, this guy, J.R., who's a basketball player. Well, J.R. is 6'10". I go, John, where the hell are we going to put J.R.? We'll put him in a basement. I go, the pipes are like 6'1". Well, we throw J.R. down in a basement, and I don't know where I was going with this. What were we talking about? I was talking more about JR. But the, what was I, where were we going with this?
I'm losing my, losing track. Who died of ALS.
Oh, yeah. And so the bottom line is, JR gets the okay to, his dad wants him to have the All American Nut Company, which is, they provide all the peanuts for Dodger Stadium. JR goes, nah, I don't want to do that. And the old man sells the business. And he asked him, do you want it? It's yours. Nah. Okay. But, you know, when you talk about the pricing, though, are you going to lose more than you get when you raise the price up? You never really know. I mean, not a question. I mean, is Netflix the next month, if they all of a sudden get 25% of their people, I mean, hopefully they did some research on this, David. Instead of the check, they get a cancel me letter, because nobody does it by letter anymore. I mean, that that's a bad decision on somebody's part. I don't know if, well, anyway, JR, if you're watching a TV with him and he had the clicker, the minute you went to a commercial, he clicked to another show. Then he'd watch that show to a commercial. And I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, it gets to the point where there's so much stuff on these things, how do you even figure out what you want to watch? I mean, it just, I'm just asking. I'm an old story.
I don't know the answer. I mean, it just, I just look at the competition and I think it's growing huge and growing rapidly.
Well, let me ask you this. Who else has content, original content, other than Netflix and Amazon?
Disney.
Okay, well, Disney's already on every station and they got it.
No, but they're coming on their own platform.
Okay, but they have...
Yeah, they're getting their own Netflix.
AT&T Time Warner.
But Disney right now has five stations on cable, right? Darn near.
I'm just saying they're going to package, and they're going to package it less than Netflix, and they're going to take all their Marvel and all that other stuff, you know, Star Wars and whatever, they're going to remove it from Netflix.
Okay, they're going to remove it from Netflix and from TV as well, or cable, and have it all in
one? That I don't know. I don't know exactly their plans, but I think the competition over the last 6 months has grown, and in the next 12 to 18 months, it's going to grow by leaps and bounds.
Wow. Real quick, since we have we only got a couple seconds here, S&P Futures, we have 1 minute. What do you make of the treasuries here, David? I mean, we're back down to 2.7%. I mean, are we going back to 3?
We're down from an intraday high of 3.3 on the 10-year, low of 2.55. I don't know. I'm a little bearish. I think that, you know, next, you know, quarter point rally should be sold.
When you say bearish on the yield or bearish on the bonds?
Bearish on the bonds.
So you think the rates are going to stay down here?
No, I think they're going to go up.
Okay, a little bit. All right, you're bearish on the bonds. Bonds go down, rates go up.
Yeah.
Think they go back over 3?
No, I think they'll try and test 3, and then I don't know. I think they're going to try and test 3.
We haven't talked about it in months, which is weird. I mean, we'll have to talk about it some more next week, because I think if we keep doing these kind of deficits,
the
federal...
I think some puts on TLT at higher levels makes sense.
S&P Futures down 7, Dow Futures down 72, NASDAQ Futures down 12. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks. Thanks, David. Good job, Jay-Z.
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.